8:31, it is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. One of the summer festivals coming up. Can't believe we're already talking summer. We are. It is the Glide Sasquatch Festival. Jenna Beam from Glide Revitalization. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you guys are getting busy. First of all, how did the idea of doing a Sasquatch Festival, how did that all begin?
It started with the organization multiple years ago. The board got together and they were looking for a fun idea to bring people out to Glide and get some commerce going and attract tourism to the area. And who doesn't love Sasquatch? So that's how it started.
And Sasquatch, it's interesting how many people are interested in it. Last year, listening to some of the stories out there was pretty fascinating.
It was. Last year, we had about 4,600 people in attendance, and we're hoping to blow that out of the water this year.
So what's going to be happen? Well, first of all, when's the date?
Saturday, July 20th.
And what's going to be going on?
Well, a lot of stuff. We have 70 different vendors. We closed our vendor village because we're full. We have 14 different food trucks. We have 6 different vendors for adult beverages. We have Bigfoot experts coming again. Squatch America, which is Scott and Hannah, Thomas Seward of Squatch America also, and Mike Freeman of the Freeman Bigfoot Files. And then this year we have Jesus Payan, who has multiple publications, but was most known for his role on Breaking Bad.
Wow. You know, the Squatch folks are pretty renowned, and they're from elsewhere in Oregon, right?
Scott and Hannah?
Yeah.
Yes.
And because I actually saw one of their vehicles go down Interstate 5 a few weeks ago. So they're out busy. And I don't know, the whole Sasquatch thing has been around, well, it goes way, way back. But certainly I've always heard about it. And it's interesting to hear some of some people's stories, regardless of whether you're exactly sure what to think.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely some very fascinating stories out there, and it's fun to have the experts here because a lot of them provide evidence and they talk more about the science of it.
And talk about why you guys do this event.
It's designed to bring commerce out in the Glide area. You know, the fire and everything else that's happened, we're trying to get people to come out and see what's there. It's a big boost for the local restaurants, the gas stations, different things like that. But then also so people will hopefully come back and eat at the restaurants and go upriver and recreate. And it's just a really fun way to bring people out there.
And you had folks, I mean, from a lot of different places coming last year. I know it's kind of hard to track, but any idea how far some people came for the event?
I know we had Washington, Idaho, and I'm trying to remember. I think we had one person from Canada.
Wow. Well, it's pretty cool. A lot going out there in Glide. So talk about Glide Revitalization, what you guys have been working on, especially since the fires in 20.
Well, we're wrapping up casework as we kind of, as people get more in that settled state from the disaster. But we also have multiple programs. So we officially opened the childcare this year. We have been partnered for 2 years with UCAN on Preschool Promise. We started a workforce development program working with Job Corps and Recruit HIPPO as well as Phoenix School to get kids 18 to 24 years old job skills and training so they can be workforce ready. We continue to do community assistance projects. We have wrapped up most of our reforestation, but we also have a big mitigation program where we provide defensible space to landowners. We've done over 135 structures so far, and I think that's everything, but I'm probably forgetting something because I haven't had much coffee yet today.
Well, there you go. The I mean, that coming out of the fires, people knew that this is not going to be something solved easily because there's so many steps in putting, you know, a property in when you have this level of devastation. It's not just the home and working through insurance and whatever else there you might be working on legal angles, but it's also infrastructure of, you know, essentially starting over in a lot of areas. And it's in a rural area, which is sort of loosely developed anyway. This is not like a subdivision or, you know, whatever. So it sounds like it's been extremely challenging.
It has. And, you know, Glide's unincorporated, so municipalities and stuff are not really a thing. We depend on county support, which the county has been amazing. But you have all kinds of additional challenges when you talk about needing to put back in wells, and people live down 2 mile dirt roads that now need gravel. And a lot of state and federal programs don't necessarily understand or recognize the challenges that happen in a rural area.
And for a lot of folks, I know some people have decided to, at least for a period of time, move elsewhere until things get better solved. What's kind of the sense of how people are doing mentally from all this?
I think we do really well until we start getting smoke and fire start again. I think some people are handling it better than others, depending on where they're at in their recovery process. And I think there's a lot of people that will never go back to those properties again.
And that seems like what I've heard from other places as well. And it's such a long-term situation. I mean, some folks, if you have a lot of resources, some people were able to jump in fairly quickly if they were fortunate. But yeah, you're right. For other people, it was like, no, let's just go start over somewhere else.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of people decided to just move on, start over.
Now, you mentioned the having the childcare. Talk about why you decided to work on that.
The more we talked to business owners and community members and parents, the more apparent it became that one of the big barriers to having a solid employee and keeping a good job and being able to advance was the availability of childcare. If you don't have dependable childcare that's local, it becomes a real challenge for a lot of parents to hold down a job. And a lot of times, especially in a single parent household, you don't have a choice. You are going to have to leave your job to go pick up your kids, and that may mean losing the job. So we wanted to provide a childcare locally that also has the room for drop-ins. So if you have someone else watching your kid and they get sick for the day, you have a backup. And we are expanding that when we move into the new building.
Yeah, so talk about the new building.
We bought a building a little over a year ago, and we have been working on doing a capital campaign to make a permanent home for the organization that'll house the daycare, adult education classrooms, a community space, a small library, partner with other organizations to provide local services so people don't have to travel to Roseburg, and just kind of make a community resource center in Glide.
And what was that building before?
Well, personally, I remember it as the general store. I spent a lot of mornings while my dad drank coffee and was working, or so my mom thought, and all the guys got together and read newspapers. So that was the North Country General Store. It was a motorcycle repair shop, a couple other things over the years, but nothing real major lately.
And so what's your timeline where you hope to have this all done?
By October 2025.
So a lot of work is still ahead.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And how are you doing in terms of funding for all this?
Good. We're getting there. We got a federal request this last year. We are doing a state request and an additional federal request. But then we're also relying on private philanthropy as well as leveraging grants and other funding to get the building done.
Wow. So a lot going on out there. And again, talk about the Sasquatch Festival. Now, if somebody... You've got everything pretty set, it sounds like, in terms of who's going to be there and all that, right?
We do, and I forgot to mention, too, our bands. So we have the Second Chance Band, Copper Still, Danielle Kelly Soul Project is coming back this year, and then a new band for us is Buffalo Speedway out of Idaho. We also have bounce houses, photo booths, mechanical bull, axe throwing, rock climbing. And our big need right now is volunteers. We need people that are willing to come out, hang out for a couple hours, help us run the event, and then enjoy the event.
Well, and you have so much going on. It takes so many people. And for people like you, it's going to be a very long day. And not everybody's probably up for that. But even if people can work part of the day and then just hang out and enjoy the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. We started a thing last year kind of internally with all of us that worked on staff, and at the end of the night we sent a picture of our feet and there were some very interesting colors between the number of hours walking around the field and just the amount of dirt on us. It was pretty impressive, so we've decided that's become a thing. It's a Bigfoot festival. We might as well show each other pictures of our feet afterwards.
All right, well, that's different.
Right? Yeah.
So if somebody is interested in volunteering or finding out more, how do they get connected?
GlideSasquatchFestival.com, or you can go to GlideRev and reach out to us that way. I also wanted to mention this year, Seven Feathers Hotel and Casino stepped in to become our title sponsor with David and Kelly Trincaro. So that was huge for us. We're super excited to have both of them.
Very good. All right. Jenna Beam, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
8:41 at the Morning Report.